Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Serene. In this podcast, you will find movie reviews and TV show reviews, the latest news about the film industry, monthly watch list, award show predictions and recaps, recaps on events like Netflix's To Doom. You will receive 2 episodes a week, Thursdays and Sundays. You can follow me on Instagram at Movie Reviews with Serene and Movie Reviews with Serene podcast. Come join the journey. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. You guys, I finally have watched the X-Men 97 series, and so we are going to talk about that today. The first 3 episodes have been released, and I'm super, super happy that it's back, because as you guys know, as a pre-teenager, I watched the original one in the 2000s, and I'm very, very glad that we are back in the universe. But also, the Ireland Film and TV Academy have released the nominations, and so we're going to talk about them. Then also, we had some very interesting news this week, so I'm going to talk about that. And yeah, that's the agenda for today. Oh, I also watched a movie this week, and it's called Drive Away Dolls, so I'm going to do a movie review on that also in this episode. Let's get started with the IFTA Awards nomination, because I want to save X-Men for last, or as last. Obviously, Oppenheimer as well. So, in the category for Best Film nominees, we've got Double Blind, Lies We Tell, Flora and Son. Oh, I love that movie. It's really cool. That they may face the rising sun, and Verdigris. Then best drama nominees, we have Blue Lights, Hidden Assets, Northern Lights, Kin, Obituary, and The Wall. Then for acting categories, we've got obviously Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan, Andrew Scott, Barry Ward, and Pierce Brosnan. Then in the lead actress category, we have Jesse Buckley, Eve Hewson, Saoirse Ronan, then Agnes O'Casey. Then Brennan, and Geraldine McElinden. Then Actress to lead actor in a drama category, we have, lead actor in a drama category, we have Martin McCann for Blue Lights, Francis McGee for Kin, Sam Keeley for Kin, Michael Smiley in Obituary, Iana Hardwick in The Sixth Commandment, and Daryl McCormack in The Woman in the Wall. And in the category for actress, in a lead actress in a drama category, we have Sharon Horgan for Best Interests, then Claire Dunn for Kin, Niam Algar for Malpractice, Elv Drill for Northern Lights, and Sopine Colin in Arbitrary, and Catriona Balfi in Arbitrary as well. And director, we have Double Blind, Flora and the Sun, Lies We Tell, Lola, That Way May Face the Rising Sun, and Vildritz. Script, when we have Double Blind, Flora and the Sun, Lies We Tell, Lola, That Way, That Day May Face the Rising Sun, and Vildritz. And lead actor, supporting actor, we have Paul Mescal for All of Strangers, Dia Mood Noise for Double Blind, Chris Raleigh for Lies We Tell, Kenneth Branagh we have for Oppenheimer, Liam Carney for Sunlight, Leo Roddy for That Day May Face the Rising Sun. Supporting actress film, we've got Bronagh Gallagher for Dance First, Catherine Walker for My Sailor, My Love, Alison Oliver for Saltburn, Ruth McCabe, That They May Face the Rising Sun, Agnes O'Casey for The Miracle Club, Maya O'Hara or Shia for Verdigris. And for director drama, we have Happy Valley, Kin, Kin Again, Northern Lights, Obituary, and Take On. Then script drama, we have Blue Lights, Hidden Assets, Kin, Northern Lights, Obituary, The Woman in the Wall. Supporting actor drama, we've got Richard Dormer for Blue Lights, Jared Harris for Foundation. Ooh, I love that. I love Foundation on Apple TV Plus. Then Aaron Monaghan for Hidden Assets, Aidan Gillen for Kin, Emmett J. Scarlon for Kin, Simon Delaney for The Woman in the Wall. Supporting actress drama, we've got Niam Algar for Culprits. Yes, I love that series. And her role was very, very good. Kathy Belton for Hidden Assets, Maria Doyle Kennedy for Kin, Danielle Galligan for Obituary, Fionnuala Flanagan for Sisters, Hilda Faye for The Woman in the Wall,
in international film award categories. We've got Best International, we've got All of Us Strangers, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, Saltburn, The Holdovers. Best International Actor, we've got Ryan Gosling for Barbie, Leonardo DiCaprio, Bradley Cooper, Mark Ruffalo, William Dafoe. Cool, Poor Things got two noms. Then Paul Giamatti. Best International Actress, we've got Margot Robbie, Lily Gladstone, Carey Mulligan, Annette Bening, Greta Lee, Emma Stone. And for George Morrison feature documentary, we've got In the Shadow of Beirut, John Juan Bees, I'm a Noise, Notes from Shepland, Stolen, The Days of Trees, The Deepest Breath, and live action short film, we've got Call, Mud Queen, Sound and Color, The Gold West, Two for the Road, Waiting Day. And animated short film, we have got Nana D, The Small Makings of a Storm, The Presenter, Wind and the Shadow. Craft categories, we've got cinematography, we've got Double Blind, Kin, Lies We Tell, Poor Things, That They May Face the Rising Sun Challenge. If I get to say this movie right, I will release a bonus episode this week. Costume design, we've got Double Blind, Lies We Tell, Lola, That They May Face the Rising Sun, The Pope's Exorcist. Production design, we have A Haunting in Venice. Love that movie. Double Blind, Lies We Tell, Lola, That They May Face the Rising Sun. Hair and makeup, we've got Double Blind, Flora and Sun, Lies We Tell. That movie again. That They May Face the Rising Sun. I tend to say rising sign, I don't know why. The Pope's Exorcist. Sound, we have Barbie, Double Blind, Evil Dead Rise, Lies We Tell, and Saltburn. Original music, we've got Double Blind, Flora and Sun, Lies We Tell, Lola, That They May Face the Rising Sun. Editing, we've got Double Blind, Lies We Tell, Lola, still a Michael J. Fox movie, The Last Rifleman. VFX, we've got Dungeons and Dragons, yes, Honor of Among Thieves, then Evil Dead Rise, Paradise, and The Nevers. And the award show will take place on Saturday, April 20th, yep, 420, in Dublin, Ireland, in the Dublin Royal Convention Centre. I'm very happy that Poor Things got nominated, then Dungeons and Dragons got nominated, and Flora and Sun. And Barbie. Now I want to share some news. Also, like, this episode was supposed to come out on Sunday, but I was way too busy. So this one's coming out on Thursday, meaning tonight, along with today's episode. So, Borderlands 4, NASA game is reportedly in the active development. Then Fantastic Four will reportedly take place in an alternative universe, and filming begins this August in London, according to Screen Time on X. And the news I read prior this one was also on screen by Screen Time on X. Then Margaret Qualley is starring in Yorgos Lanthimos' next movie titled Kinds of a Kindness. And this one will be released on June 21st in theaters. Then Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Hong Chau, and Joe Alvin are also starring in Yorgos Lanthimos' next movie, Kind of Kindness. So the Spider Within, a Spider-Verse story, has been released online, and it follows Miles Morales as he suffers from an anxiety attack as he feels overwhelmed by schoolwork, exams, and relationships. This is like a short film. And the official synopsis for Yorgos Lanthimos' Some Kinds of Kindness have been released, and it's a fable following a man without choice who tries to take control of his own life, a policeman who is alarmed that his wife, who was missing at sea, has returned and seems a different person, and the woman determined to find a specific someone with a special ability, who is destined to become a prodigious spiritual leader. This sounds so much like Poor Things, and I'm excited about it. Ariana Greenblatt has reportedly joined the cast of Fear Street Prom Queen, according to OneTakeNews.com. Yuri Lowenthal is the voice of Spider-Man in Marvel Rivals. And Marvel has like released basically all the Rivals. So I'm going to that shortly. And those are the following. Marvel's upcoming Overwatch-style 6v6 hero multiplayer game, like Marvel Rivals, will have the following in its roster. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Storm, The Punisher, Doctor Strange, Magneto, Luna, Snow. And more. We gotta first look at Zachary Levi as Harold in the live action Harold and the Purple Crayon movie, which will be released in theaters on August 2nd this year. I will post the look onto my Instagram account. We also got a first trailer and look for Beetlejuice 2. And Jenna was looking very good. Like, I'm very excited for like to seeing her and then just like go back into the Beetlejuice universe, which I love. Then also, this movie will be released on September 6th. Also this year. And Michael Keaton will play Beetlejuice again. We also got a trailer for Alien Romulus, and also a poster, since I'm kind of terrified of the Alien franchise. I've watched it, but I'm still kind of terrified. I won't be watching it, but if you're interested, it will be released on August 16th. Then Aaron Taylor-Johnson has not been cast as the new James Bond, according to Variety. In the last episode, I said that he was, and I retract my statement. He wasn't. But it would fit him. Then, the Office series is moving forward with Greg Daniels set to develop the show with Michael Koeman, Nathan For You, the writer of Nathan For You. And the series is likely to be set in a new office with new characters, but set in the same universe. According to Deadline, and to that I say I'm in. I am very excited about that. Hopefully they will like name drop Michael Scott or Jim and Pam or Dwight. Olivia Colman said to tinyurl.com that, and I quote, she never saw her cut scene from Barbie, but it was kind of perfect for me because I got paid for the job and then no one could say I was shit in it. End of quote. So, okay. I really hope like we'll get a Barbie extended version. That will be fire. Then Cillian Murphy will return for the Peaky Blinders movie. And the movie will begin filming in September of this year, according to Discussing Film on X. Then Warner Bros. Plans to expand their production of anime to more than 10 series per year, according to Discussing Film on X. Batman 2 begins filming in April next year. Kathy O'Brien has been cast in Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part, no, not Dead Reckoning, Mission Impossible 8. Dead Reckoning is like 7, and Part 2 and Part 1 are just 7. Ah, they're pulling a Harry Potter on us, like this 7th movie was like split in 2, Part 1 and Part 2. So I see. Still, I will be watching it. I love that franchise. Then the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie will officially be a reboot. I really hope we will see Penelope Cruz in that one. Then Sebastian Stan is officially not returning as Bucky for Captain America Brave New World. And Anthony Mackie, he said to RadioTimes.com that he was disappointed by saying, and I quote, "When they decided to go back to the movies, it is what it is. But I don't have my friends anymore, so it kind of dampens it a little bit." And but Bucky will, like Sebastian Stan, will appear in Thunderbolts, which is currently being filmed because Florence Pugh shares some glimpses onto her Instagram account. Happy Gilmore 2 will be made for Netflix according to Deadline. Then GTA 6 could be delayed to 2026 due to production delays. Spring 2025 is still the reported release time frame according to Screen Time on X. Bad Sisters Season 2 has wrapped filming. Then Joker 2 is reportedly mostly a jukebox musical and features at least over 15 songs, according to Variety. Ooh, I love that. I love Lady Gaga. So, The Batman is leaving Netflix on March 31st. That's for Netflix US. So, that's in a couple of days. So, if you haven't watched it, which I cannot imagine who hasn't watched The Batman, Matt Reeves one, yet. But, if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it, feel free to watch it on Netflix. I love The Batman and I have seen it at least 10 times. And I still love it. It's just so gritty, nitty, gory, wet, green, green, gray, I love it. Marvel's Zombies will be a pretty tense TV mature animation series. What was so great about the comics was it not someone, like one of the showrunners said that too. IGN.com. So, and I quote, "What was so great about the comics was it not pulling its punches. That's certainly what we're going for." End of quote. And we'll finally, I hope so, but we'll finally see what actually happened to Zombie Thanos in the zombie episode of What If. But never stated yet. Then Euphoria Season 3 will reportedly have a time jump and the characters will no longer be in high school. And according to TheWrap.com, I mean, it would make sense. So the final season of You is now in production at Netflix. Spider-Man 4 will reportedly begin filming in September or October, and Justin Lin is one person currently in the mix to direct. Oof, Justin Lin did the 6th installment of Fast and Furious, and it was really good. Also, like the 3rd installment, like the timeline between he did Tokyo Drift and the 6th installment of Fast and Furious, and I love that. One of my favorite installments of Fast and Furious, it has to be Tokyo Drift. According to TheInsider.com. Zendaya is committed to Spider-Man 4, which is part of the reason why Euphoria Season 3 was delayed. Oh yeah, it was also delayed again. I really hope like this series will come back, because it's been being delayed way too many times. Bad Boys 4 is titled Bad Boys Ride or Die in theaters on June 7th. Then, oh, we did that already? Yeah, Pedro Pascal is reportedly not finished with filming The Last of Us Season 2 yet, according to IGN.com. A 5th bonus episode of Quiet on Set called Breaking the Silence will air on April 7th. I've not watched them, all of them, but I watched like clips here and there on TikTok, and oh my god, like I grew up watching the series of this horrible, horrible producer human being, and I love Drake and Josh, and hearing what Drake Bell had to go through is beyond heartbreaking, and I don't want to go much into detail about what happened to him, but this is the reason why so many, like, why we need more docu-series about the sinister and darkness of Hollywood. And so I really hope that we'll get more docuseries like this quite on set one. This was Nickelodeon. I feel that Disney is next. And I'll be watching The Downfall of Hollywood with popcorn in my hand. So I'm very, very, I'm very, very glad that docuseries like this one is being made and being shared, because every single person, every single victim has a voice, and that needs to be heard. And as someone new, I don't like to talk about it, but as someone who was a victim, I am just so emotional and so happy and glad and all of the above that people are coming forward, whether this is anonymously or like in front of the world. And also I'm also very glad that not only this is like happening, but also the Jeffrey Epstein of the music industry is crumbling as well. And also like in that case are also like many people that are coming forward. And as someone who has been a fan of many of his artists, like MGK, French Montana, who else? Macklemore, and many, many others, like Selena. Okay, Selena is Interscope. Not Selena, but like as someone who's a huge rap fan, I am so glad. But it, like those documents about his whereabouts were heartbreaking to hear and read. But I'm just very like, I'm just like so happy that it's happening. And yeah, we just need those like docu-series about like whether that's like Hollywood or whether that's the music industry. So keep them coming. And also, as Cat Williams said in January, a lot of like basically like Hollywood is crumbling, and we are, I think, all of the like pop culture people like me or fans of musicians like me are here to witness it and to watch. And yeah, that's what I want to say for now. Anyways, let's continue. Heartstopper Season 3 will release in October on Netflix. Kevin Alves from Yellowstone will make his directorial debut with indie heist movie titled Lucky Weekend, starring Alexa Barajas, Jesse Camacho, and Jessica Clement. Going to Deadline. Okay, that's it for the second. Anyways, let's talk about, I also like Drive Away Dolls, but I There's so much more that I would like to say, but I'm just too scared of the music industry part. So, anyways, let's talk about Drive Away Dolls. And Drive Away Dolls is a action epic buddy comedy road trip action comedy thriller movie, and it's by the Coen brothers. Coen, but it's by not like the other one, but the Ethan Coen did it, and those two that Fargo did Fargo, then Gambit, but also, oh yeah, Argyle as well. Not Argyle, I'm dumb. Not Argyle. So bad, but it's like so interesting because Drive Away Dolls is like, how can I say it? Let me think. Okay, let's do it this way. Let's talk about the cast, because we've got Margaret Qualley, who was in Poor Things, and also in Stars at the Noon, which I say, don't watch it. Then, Sanctuary. Then we've also got Galandina Viswanathan. She was in The Beanie Bubble. Then also in Rumble, Pixar. Also in BoJack Horseman, she voiced the character of Tony. Then we've got Pedro Pascal, Colin Domingo, Matt Damon, Bill Camp, Annie Gonzalez, Connie Jackson, okay, that's the cast. And also the script was written by Ethan Coen and Tricia Cook. And Dravidoid dolls. It's like it follows Jamie. That's Margaret Qualley. And uninhibited free spirit bemoaning yet another breakup with a girlfriend. Also, this movie is kind of like a lesbian movie. I don't know what else to say. Yet another breakup with a girlfriend and her demure friend Marianne, that's like Tawny from BoJack Horseman, who desperately needs to loosen up. In search of a fresh start, the two embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, but things quickly go away when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals along the way. That's the plot of the movie. Like the premise of the movie. And one, the movie is short. And two, it's like, it's very explicit. It has a lot of nudity. It has so many funny moments. And Colin Domingo is amazing in it. Which, every time, also this movie is by A24, need to say more. Like, I love his role, also by A24. What was it? Zoella, I think. He was amazing in it. Then Pedro Pascal sadly dies very quickly in the movie. Within like the first few minutes of the movie, he dies. Then there are so many cameos where I was like, oh my god, I was so excited to see some faces. Miley is in it, Miley Cyrus is in it. And the movie is like a psychological trip with, I would say, if you're sensitive to flashlights, don't watch this movie. And it's like very like psychological. It's like as if you took mushrooms, went to a road trip, and but with like some lesbian activities, a lot of that. And the reveal, like the plot twist, is just so clever. Obviously, I won't like reveal it to you, but it was amazing. It was like chef's kiss for a good. So yeah, I have slept a few days after watching this movie, and I have to say I like it, but I cannot describe why I like it because it's like very overwhelming at times. Like you have this like trippy visuals, then you have something normal, then trippy visuals as well, and it's like very very difficult to describe this movie. So I would describe it as an experience. Oh boy, was this fun to watch. And the humor, oh my god, the dialogue. Ugh, it's just so good. Like, it's weird and entertaining, but it's really, really good. Like, I cannot describe to you why I like this movie. Obviously, the cast was amazing and the story was crazy and somewhat relatable, somewhat understandable. yeah, it was amazing. But I have to say, like, certain scenes were, like, kind of, like, copied from other movies. So that's my only con from this movie. But I would give it a 10 out of 10. It was amazing. I had a lot of fun. I was, like, it was, like, very gory and bloody. And very, very interesting to watch and entertaining. And yeah, I would put it in the best like movie I watched this month. Besides, and after Dune, obviously. Yeah, that was Driving Tolls. Certain camera angles were very, very interesting, which I'm always a sucker for camera angles. Then also the cinematography mostly was beautiful because they were like taking a road trip from, I think, California or DC to... No, I think it, no, it was like, it has to be California to Tallahassee. And then there were some political jabs, and, you know, about abortion and queerness, and I was like, wow. There were also like some scenes where I was like, why? But at the end it made sense. I just like the plot is just so dumb but funny, and I love it. It reminds me of the movie Package. I think it's called Package. If you watch that one, you will enjoy this one. And also this will piss way too many human beings, like the homophobes, the homophobes and the political correctness humans along with others. So it was very cool to see that those topics among others were in this movie. Oh my god, I really enjoyed Driving with Dolls. Like, it's weird, but relatable. But, I mean, relatable in, like, what it's like to be queer. That's the relatable part. Then also, also there was this one scene similar to Barbie, but with like, I mean, Barbie in regards of America Ferrera's speech about being a woman. This one was very similar and very powerful, and I had goosebumps after this one. But then I laughed crying because of the... Because of the scene afterwards, that scene. Like, it's so funny because you think, oh, the movie is almost over because it's like only an hour and 30 minutes. I mean, less than that if you exclude the credits. But, But you're like, okay, the movie's about to end. I think it's about to end. Then Cohen, like, Ethan Cohen, he just, you know, like, takes you to another direction, or like, they start to another direction. Then you're like, huh, that's very interesting. And then you think, okay, now it's the movie, like, over. Or like almost over, it should be almost over. But then he does it again, or like multiple times, and you're like, huh. Either you're left with, what the fuck did I watch? Or, if you're like homophobe, that will be the case. Or you're just like, oh my god, I love this, I love A24, and also like, it's by A24, it makes totally sense that it's that Driveway Dolls is the movie that an A24 studio would release. So, please watch it. It's really good. And if you're like homophobic, you can still watch and enjoy it. Another thing I loved about Driveway Dolls was the usage of pop culture references. Then also about the movie, but a different like a version of the movie. Oh my god, I'm so dumb. Not the movie, but the sound, like the music from that era. So it felt like a 2016 trolling back to 2016 type of thing. More like filled with nostalgia, to be honest. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every single second of it. Even the bad guys were funny and well written. Colin Domingo's character is my favorite. He was very, very good without revealing anything. But he was very, very good. Obviously, it's a 10 out of 10. Let's talk about the highlight of my week. And that is the release of the X-Men series. Obviously, I watched all three episodes. Well, like two were released and I watched the third one
this week, the third episode.
And one thing I have to say, I remember when I said I hope Charles would come back in a flashback. That was the case in episode 3. Then also Cyclops and Jean have a baby, but then Sinister comes back and hurts the baby. and this is fine, but I suppose it's kind of fine. Then we have a multiverse element in the series, which was kind of like foreshadowed in the post-credit scene of Marvel's. I love being back in the school, and also like basically like the whole universe, even with the New Mutants. Like Wolverine being like, you know, just seeing him again, and also like Cyclops and Jean and Storm, and how they like kind of like what the direction of her character took. I wasn't expecting that. Then and like Magneto being back, but you know, we are still not sure if he's good or bad, even though he claims he's good. We'll see. I love that the episodes are just like 32 minutes long, so it's very snackable to watch. Then also I lost my mind when I heard the theme song of the show, and also like the logo of Marvel, X-Men 97. Then also like they were dropping some names like Phoenix, which is obviously from Dark Phoenix, X-Men Dark Phoenix. Then other names, which would be a spoiler. Then yeah, I'm very excited for that one. Like it's like as if we've never left, and 27 years, you know, we haven't just watched 27 years. Obviously, I haven't watched, I like waited 27 years that for that one to be back, for this series to be back. obviously I am like I'm like I haven't watched, you know, when it was like released, because I was not even born yet. Like, it was in 97 or 98, 99, something like that. But I watched it like when I was older, like when I was in the early 2000s. I watched it and I loved it, and I was a bit sad because it ended. This original series ended, and now it is having a revival. So you can imagine I'm the happiest person on earth because it's back, and it's like as if we've never left, but with like new additions, like new characters, new. Those weren't really new, because if you have watched the New Mutants movie, then you would probably see most of the New Mutants in X-Men 97. You know what I mean? And also, yes, Charles dead, but I am convinced that he will come back. And also, element of the multiverse, because that opens a whole new like chapter, or like a whole new like possibility, or more possibilities and new doors which the direction of the series could take, which makes me happy and excited. And out of the three episodes, I have to say my favorite has to be the third episode, because of the flashback of Charles, but also like Magneto. Then, and also like the baby of Jean and Cyclops. I am watching it in German because when I was younger, I watched it in German. So I don't know how it sounds in English, but I watched it. I'm watching it in German, and it has like 10 episodes, and I'm like thinking, okay, like where this one could be, because there was a cliffhanger in the last episode. And I also love the visuals of this one. And also, like, one thing I have to say is, like, as a light sensitive person and as a person which gets easily overwhelmed and easily irritated because of the flashlights, this will have a lot of them. And I love the action and the fights, but the amount of the flashing lights in this series was too much. So I watched it on my phone, because my phone has this like setting when it's like, you know, when the lights are like coming, like the choo-choos, the lightsaber fights, for example, my screen dims, so it doesn't really bother me that much. But it was so dark that I had to watch the series in audio description, because I couldn't see, because my screen was dimmed in order to like protect my eyes because of the flashlights. So yeah, if you're sensitive to that, don't watch it. But I still enjoy it. I still enjoyed like seeing the school again, the X-Men's headquarters, and I'm very excited. I'm like, my theory is that Magneto has kind of like manipulated Charles to put him into the will of his, like put him into the heir, as the heir of the whole like school, like the Charles Xavier schools and the X-Men headquarters, because there's no other way that Magneto is the sole heir, or like got to be the sole heir of the whole like X-Men project. And I think there's something sinister behind it, because I'm not convinced that Magneto is like back and he's like, oh, or like Lovey Dovey. I'm not convinced. It is Magneto, so there has to be something sinister. But with that being said, I'm very excited for the next episodes, and the next one will be on Wednesday, April 3rd. And did I forget anything? Also, like, Hong Chao is also in it. Oh, we didn't talk about the cast. Oopsie. We've got Ray Chase as Colossus. He was in Licorice Pizza. Jujutsu Kaisen. Then we got Carl Dud. He is a legend, and he was in Scott Pilgrim Takes Off because he is just working in animation as a voice actor. He was in Dean Ace. Then in Atomic Betty, Ace Lightning, and so on and so forth. Then we've also got, like I said, Hong Chao. He voices the character of Ghibli. Then we've got George Buza. He was like Beast in the original X-Men series, is also Beast in this X-Men series. So most of the cast came back to the revival. We've also got Matthew Watterson. He was in What If, as Rusty. And then we've got J.P. Karliak. He voices Morph. And also, he was in The Boss Baby. He voices Boss Baby. And also, he's in Family Guy. Oh, not Hong Chao. Holy Chao. See. Yeah, I'm very excited for more, to see more from the X-Men 97 series revival. And like I said, like, it is everything and so much more. A fan needs the story, like an X-Men fan needs the story, and the animation is amazing, and the, like, new story arcs with Magneto and new members as well. Just like seeing the X-Men as a whole again was just so nostalgic for me. And also, like, it's just a perfect tell of the upcoming, like, story of the Dark Phoenix and the Goblin Queen, telling of the story, and, like, the return of Frask. Oh yeah, so that was it. Frask is also in it, and like other characters we love and adore from the series was also very nostalgic for me. Then this is like by far the best X-Men show in a long time, and it's 27 years, and I have to say, like, this is easily my highlight of this month. And I'm so ready and so excited to watch the future episodes. Ugh, it's just so good. But I love, like, you know, sometimes it's, like, too nostalgic or too fanservice-y. Or, like, too, like, strained away from the like the old stuff, like, you know, the X-Men, like the X-Men original series. But this is like in a perfect like balance between nostalgia and freshness, so I applaud to the showrunners how they can could do that, because it's very difficult to do it. So I'm very happy and excited to watch more. I really hope that it will have a live-action version as well. And maybe, like, even have a live-action, like, X-Men 97 Secret Wars crossover, which would be very fun to watch. I really want, like, Patrick Stewart to be back as Charles Xavier, even if it's, like, just in a memory of Jean or Logan, or, like, in a flashback. So I'm very excited about, like, the it opened doors of endless possibilities in the X-Men / like now Deadpool version. Like, now, you know, X-Men and Deadpool are like Deadpool and Wolverine, so that could also be like, that could also be, like, what if, like, Deadpool would appear in X-Men 97? So, it's just so exciting to be back in the universe and then to have all these, like, endless possibilities in the direction of the series or, like, the universe as a whole. So, I'm very excited about the future, like I said, of X-Men. And, like, as I said, like, you don't really need a lot of, like, preparation to watch this series, because if you watch the movies, you can still, like, enjoy it. But if you have seen the original series from 97, then you can enjoy this one even more. What can I say? I'm just happy and glad that it's back and excited that, because there's, I know, like, this will require a full, like, a spoiler review once the show is all done, because there's a lot of things that I cannot say because I don't want to spoiler you. But I'm very excited to see Sinister again. Being said, thank you so much for listening, because this marks the end of the episode, and in the next episode I'll be talking about the best and worst releases of the month of March, and also give you my April watch list. I'm so excited for many shows and movies this upcoming month. If you like this podcast episode, give me 5 stars on all podcast apps, and write a kind review, follow me on all my social media, check out my Avatar the Last Airbender written review on my blog, which is also linked in the show notes. Then subscribe to this podcast and turn the notifications on so you don't miss an episode. And I wish you a great day and night where, and I'll talk to you on, actually I talk to you tonight because I'll release today's episode. So yeah, I'll talk to you, but also other than that, I'll talk to you on Sunday. Bye. I put a poll onto Spotify, and the poll has the question whether you have seen X-Men 97 yet. So you have time until I think April. Until April 2nd, so do the poll. You can do it on Spotify and on Spotify for podcasters. I tell you, it's all the excitement for X-Men which hinders me to talk. Anyways, I'll talk to you on Sunday. Bye.